Good evening and welcome to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Yomi for the 26th of Cheshvan. I had thought that we're finishing Hilchos Shmoneh Esrei tonight, but we are finishing it tomorrow, actually. Oh, actually, I see that we are finishing it tonight. We're actually the 27th of Cheshvan, and I used a different sefer last night. So now we are up to Simen Yud Ches Sif Tes Vav. Hopefully, nobody gets confused about the beginning of that recording. Simen Sif Tes. We continue talking about the halachas of Shemoneh Esrei, and we get to finish the halachas of Shemoneh Esrei. For those who haven't heard the previous ones, go chaper Ryan, and we continue. Very, very important halachas. A lot of the halachas in Baruch Hashem, when you look at it and you try to do it in practice, you should do it right away. Do it right away. You know, that day, if you could do it right away, it's amazing. Some of the things that we learned about. For example, by Hilchos Kriyas Shema, about making sure there's a pause between each of the parshiyos. I really been trying to do that. Or the Kitzur says that you say Tehillah is Lekel Elyon before Shemoneh Esrei. You say that after you've taken three steps back, not you say Tehillah Kel Elyon and then you take three steps back at any random point. So let's continue. Sif Tes Vav Aval Betfilas Elikanitzar. However, while in the middle of the tefillah of Elikai Nitzar, Mutar Lahafsik, it is permitted to interrupt. Remember, we said you can't interrupt for anything during Shemoneh Esrei, even though we saw that in footnote 73 from Moshe Feinstein about Berachas Kohanim. Ledvarim Shemafsikin, you're allowed to interrupt for certain things. Be'emsa Perek Shel Berachas Kriyashma U'Kriyashma. You're allowed to interrupt for those same things that you're allowed to interrupt the Berachas of Kriyashma. Le'el Simen Tes Zayin. When we call Lachaim, and nevertheless, if it's possible, if you're going to have to interrupt, you see that an interruption is coming in Elikainitzar, and you know it's going to happen. So you should be sure to say the words, you should say those words before Elikainitzar in order to make it that your Shemoneh Esrei is more finished. Before you say Elikainitzar, and if you still have more time, it's interesting. You should also take three steps back before responding, even though you have not said Elikainitzar. It sounds like from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if you know you're going to have to interrupt, he says take three steps back. Don't say Elikainitzar. You say Yulerotzin, take three steps back, interrupt, and then it sounds like after that, say Elikainitzar. I've never heard of that. Again, some people do to always say Yulerotzin as opposed to Yulerotzin, to always say Yulerotzin after the last bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, and then afterwards they say Elikainitzar, and I do that. Upam Shenis Yulerotzin, and they say the words Yulerotzin again at the very end of Elikainitzar. And that is the proper thing to do. Venerally, and the Kitzur says, it seems to me, if you do so, if you are accustomed to saying Yulerotzin before Elikainitzar, then you are allowed to interrupt Lanois Kol Omin, to answer any Omin during Elikainitzar. Remember, we listed a whole bunch of interruptions that you're allowed to say during Birchas Kriyashma or Kriyashma itself, Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kedusha. You're allowed to interrupt for those things. But you're not allowed to interrupt for every Amen and even every Amen in Kaddish. But if you say Yulerotzin and then you say Elikainitzar, then you would be allowed to answer Amen. Yesh, some say the Kaddim Shomer is a Pasuk Yulerotzin, and before you say this Pasuk of Yulerotzin, Tayyiv Lemer Pasuk Echad, it's good to say some Pasuk, Min HaTorah, Min from somewhere in Tanakh. And this is the last Yulerotzin. Before you say the last Yulerotzin, Elikainitzar, a person should say Pasuk from Tanakh that begins and ends with the letters that his name begins and ends with. And that's from the Eliyahu B'Shem, the Kesser Yosef. And yearly, the Eimer Yulerotzin Shnei Pam, that a person says, like I just said, Yulerotzin twice, in the beginning of Elikainitzar and the end of Elikainitzar, Lo Yeimer Elikaydim Yulerotzin Shnei, that they should say this Pasuk. People know this Pasuk. They should say that Pasuk before the second Yulerotzin. So my Pasuk, and my name starts with Mem and ends with Hey, so it's Machshavos. I only have one name, so it's easier. You know, I have a son who I really set him up for difficulty. You know, in this regard, his name is David Chaim Pesach, and he's going to have to, and I have to. I'm sure he's going to know Tanakh by heart by that point, Be'ez Hashem. But he'll have to do three psukim. There are different reasons given for this. A very famous reason is that a person is liable to forget his name in the next world. Chavetz Chaim, I think it's in Sefer Shmiras Lashon. Chavetz Chaim says, why is it that a person would forget their name? He says that there are certain averas, like for example, saying Lashon Hara, that a person might do that will cause him to have other people's averas on his account. And when they go to the next world and they see all these averas, some of the averas under their own name, and some of the averas under someone else's name, they're liable to forget who they are. And having this pasuk as something that you constantly say will protect you at that moment in some respect. Very interesting. Sif Tes Zayin. Kvar Nisbar B'Simen Yud Beis Sif Gimel. It's already been explained earlier. The Imargish Ba'atzmei Afilu Ktsas Hargoshel Etzrachav, that if a person feels even a slight urge to go to the bathroom, also L'Espal, then it's not allowed for him to go to Daven. Achi Naka Es Atzmei, until he cleanses himself. U'mikol Shekel Etzvil Shemona Esrei, and certainly the case is true as it relates to Shemona Esrei, she also L'Lamud L'Espal, it's forbidden for him to get up to daven, kishu margish ksas litzrachav, when he feels like he has to go to the bathroom, achi nakes atzman, until he goes to the restroom. Ulam, however, im mitchila loy hirgish klal, this is very important. If when a person started Shemona Esrei, he did not really feel an urge to go to the bathroom, ve'achar kach be'emtza tefillah Shemona Esrei, but once he started saying Shemona Esrei, now he's in the middle, hirgishu tzarech litzrachav, he feels like he has to go to the bathroom, bein l'gadilim, bein l'katanim, whether it's a serious case of going to the bathroom or urination, yatzer es atzma asher yigmer Shemona Esrei, he should hold himself in until he gets to the end of Shemona Esrei. Well, he afsik should not interrupt Shemona Esrei, afilu im ha'argosha, he gadil, even if it feels pretty serious, mikol makim, obviously not incredibly serious, but pretty serious, mikol makim yatzer es atzma kol man shiach, he should hold it as long as he can. But Yafsik Lotzeis be'emtzah Shemona Esrei, he should not interrupt the middle Shemona Esrei. Ad la'achar shisiyim ha'mevorachas al Yisrael b'shalom, he should go to the bathroom only once he finished the last bracha of Shemona Esrei. And one would imagine, and he should say Yul Ratzon Imirfi again at that point. Sif Yud Zayin Hirgish Shiyetzei Memenu Ruach Milamata. If a person feels that he needs to pass gas, the Epshalei Latzer, he can't hold it in. Imispal Bebeis, if he's diving at home, so he should actually move around. Hoylech La'achayrev Arba Amis, he should step back for Amis Olit Staden, or he should go to the side Umetzi Hareach, and then pass the gas in that area. Umamtin Achiyich Hareach, and then he should wait until that smell goes away. V'chayzlam Kaim, and then he should go back to the place where he davened. There is, I mean, it sounds like he is doing this because it's inappropriate to do it in the place where he davens. And then he says, he says this, Tfila. Sounds like Asher Yotze. You formed us with many openings and many cavities. It's revealed in front of you our shame and our humiliation. When we are alive, our lot is humiliation and shame. Rima v'saleya b'mayisenu, when we are dead, worms and maggots. And then he should say, it's in the middle of davening, b'goyimer tefilasay, and then you should continue saying Shemona Esrei. And note 81. Why are you saying this? Because the purpose of this prayer is to beg forgiveness for having inadvertently committed this act during prayer. One therefore acknowledges the human frailty that did not allow him to restrain himself, meaning he couldn't control himself. So therefore, he's permitted to do so, but he wants to ask forgiveness for Hashem. So he says this tefillah, if he passed gas involuntarily while standing in the place where he's already saying Shemona Esrei, and he wasn't able to get away from that place, but see where he's dominating a shul, and therefore he cannot take a hike. Because if he would take a hike in middle of Shemona Esrei, it would be very, very embarrassing. He does not have to move away in that case. He would then not to say this tefillah that he just listed. In that case, he would just wait until the smell goes away, and he would finish davening Shemona Esrei. In note 82, he says, why don't you say that tefillah? He says, since he didn't move away from that place in which he was praying, so his shame and humiliation that he had to pass gas is not apparent. He actually notes over here that the Mishnah Berurah says he should think the words there Rabbeinu Olam prayer before continuing Shemona Esrei. Obviously, the Kitzur doesn't say that. Sif Yud Ches. Osir Leishe B'toyich Arba Amis. It's forbidden for a person to sit within four Amis. This is very important. Shalom Ispal Tfilin Shemona Esrei of someone who is in middle Shemona Esrei. You're not allowed to sit within. And we said four Amis is something like somewhere near 8 feet, a little less than 8 feet. So you're not allowed to sit within that area of someone davening. Bein Melefon or Bein Melacharav. Regardless of whether you're sitting in front of him or even behind him, they may not stop him or even on his sides. A person cannot sit in these places. However, the person is sitting who's sitting there in one of in, within this circumference of four amis, he is actually davening if that guy over there is actually davening, mutter, then it's okay for him to stay in that area. In note 84, he says, when one sits adjacent to one who is praying Shemoneh Esrei, and he is not also engaged in prayer, it appears as if the person sitting doesn't wish to accept upon himself the authority of Hashem. You're sitting while this person is davening. It's inappropriate. In note 85, oh, if you're davening, he said, you're allowed to stay there. Even if he is not engaged in actual prayer, as long as it's somewhat connected to prayer service, he may sit there. An example is this person is learning the Mishnah that is said prior to the Mishnah of Isaiah Mekamen, which is said prior to Mizmor Shir, or a person is learning Pirkei Avos. That's what they quote here on the bottom of note 85. So in that case, a person is allowed to sit there. V'yesh mekilim, some are lenient. Even if he's not busy with something relating to tefillah, but he's learning out loud, he also does not have to distance himself. But a person who is a firm person, he should certainly not sit in front of that person, meaning don't rely on this heter in that case. As far as this fellow could see, meaning even beyond four amos, even if that person is not saying Shemoneh Esrei, even if that person is just saying Krishma, but a firm person does not have to be strict about sitting on the sides. Meaning it sounds like he has to be concerned about that. It's not clear if he's saying he has to be concerned about that if he's learning and davening. Or in general, we're not makbid on this. It sounds like perhaps it's the first case. You can certainly stand near anyone who is davening. Even in front of a person, you're allowed to stand there. And we'll talk about passing in front of him. Sif Yud Tes. Imzeha Yoshev. If the person is sitting near someone who's davening, Adam Chalish, he's a weak person. Ein Limchais Loi, a person should not protest, meaning don't yell at the person. Yeah, how could you sit there? He's a Shemacha person. This is where he sat down. It's hard for him to get up. Sif Chaf. It seems like an obvious halacha. Sif Chaf. Imzeha Yoshev Yoshev Kaidin. Now, this is important. If the person sitting down was there first, and then only afterwards came the person who was davening Shemoneh Esrei. This person was sitting around, and then somebody came to daven near him. And he stood there davening Shemoneh Esrei, and next to him or in front of him. So now the person who is sitting there and who was there sitting there the whole time is now behind the mispal. In that case, the person does not have to stand up at all. Because the person who is now davening Shemoneh Esrei came to my domain. I was here first. And in note 91, he says, it would be a midas chassidus. It would be an exceptionally nice thing to stand up even in that case, but you don't have to. But Elsa, you're sitting there, and you were sitting there the whole time. And then somebody came and started davening Shemoneh Esrei behind you. So therefore, the person who's sitting is now in front of the davener. It's proper to stand up in that case. And all of these halachas kishim espal v'beise apply only when someone is davening at home, meaning someone decides to daven behind you in your house. But if you're davening in a house that's set aside for a shul, or actual prestigious synagogue, which is designated for every person to come and pray, that even if you were sitting there, you're sitting in shul now, and now there's going to be a minion coming, so then, no matter what, you have to stand, because in that case, That place is meant for davening, and you happen to be sitting there. It doesn't give you an excuse to sit there and to continue to sit there. But if you're sitting in your house and somebody decides to daven behind you, which would be exceptionally strange, so then you would not be required to stand unless he is davening right behind you. If you're davening next to you, then you would be allowed to continue sitting. Stif Chaf Aleph. Ulcer Lavar Besecha Arbam. This is where I was talking about before. It is forbidden to pass in front, to walk in front of a person who is in the middle of davening within four amis, lifnei hamispal tefillah Shemoneh Esrei, in front of a person who is davening Shemoneh Esrei. V'lachin, therefore, im echad hispal v'gamar tefillah asak. If a person finished Shemoneh Esrei, this obviously happens all the time, and there's someone behind you still davening, but he hasn't finished yet. The guy in front cannot take his three steps back because he would be, because by doing so, he would then be passing in front of someone who is davening. However, passing beside one who is davening, or passing behind somebody, which that's not a problem at all. But you cannot pass in front of somebody who is davening. And this note 92, it says that you cannot do so because it disturbs the concentration of the person who is davening. There's a very, very famous story from Moshe Feinstein that wouldn't even walk in front of a person who is a child who is in the middle of davening. He said, there's a wall here. I mean, halacha states that there's a wall in front and you cannot go past such thing. Sif Chaf Beis, and the final sif of Siman Yud Ches, Baruch Hashem, here we go. Shtiker, A drunkard, if he's in a state that he cannot speak anymore, he can't, I mean, that is not called speaking. Before a great and respected person, he's not able to speak anymore. Also, he's not allowed to say Shemoneh Esrei. And if he violated that, and he's still daven anyway, even though he's mumbling because of how drunk he is. It is disgusting. He's daven again. When he sobers up, and if tefila has already passed because he was drunk and he didn't have enough time to sober up, he can make it up in the next tefila. He didn't shaking is like the halachas of a person who inadvertently or unavoidably missed a tefila, like Kaman Simchav Aleph, which we'll talk about in 3 Simanim. Did tefila be isha nida regarding the halacha about a woman who is a nida? And like Kaman Seif Simon Kuf Nun Gimel, we'll talk about that later on. But we're going to learn a halacha that if a person misses davening, and it wasn't on purpose, but he missed davening, so then that person can make it up in a way that we're going to learn. As Hashem, everyone should have bracha v'hatzlacha.